I know Bob's a firm believer in you don't eat if you don't work, and I say that almost jokingly, but serious. They've really transformed the mountain up there, and we just got together with them this week and got to kind of talk through this. And you know, their intention was never to go up. They say this. They'll testify to this. Their intention was never to go up there and change the culture. We don't want to bring in an Americanized culture or anything like that, a Western culture. And yet, the culture has been drastically changed. And it doesn't resemble Western culture. It's still Nobe Panamanian culture, and yet, it's so gospel-centered, so Christ-focused. It's just, it's a 180-degree difference. So praise God. There's so much going on up there. Will and Joni, if you'd come forward and share with us next. This is one of our new ministries that none of you guys have heard from. I say our ministries. It's their ministry, but I'm excited to hear from them for the very first time.
Very first time. Thanks, Pastor, for inviting us to share about what the Lord's been doing and his call on our lives for the last 25 years. But don't worry, we're not going to take 25 years to explain it. But anyway, so we're with Action International out of Washington State in the USA. Being international missionaries, we needed to be identified. Closer? Okay, is that better? Okay. We needed to be identified, and Joni and I feel that face-to-face was a good name for our ministry. And God has led us to share the gospel in a personal, face-to-face way to people, often in a very unusual places. We served for nearly 20 years in the Philippines and used the multiplication model for our ministry. We disciplined prison inmates in the Philippines in maximum, and we discipled. Yes, right, they were discipled. I should have put these on. How's that? There we go. Oh, hi. But anyway, but we discipled prison inmates in a maximum security prison, National Penitentiary in Manila, and trained them to reach out to their own people and gangs in their own dialect and cultural norms. There were 14,000 inmates in the prison that we worked from all over the 7,000 islands of the Philippines. One Muslim terrorist came to Christ through reading the Bible to learn English. When JT got to John 3:16, he closed the book and he exclaimed that you must have a God of big love to send him to the enemies. JT was part of the Abu Sayyaf kidnap for ransom terrorist group, and he well understood the term ransom. It was, I'm sorry, I lost my place. Okay. and how Jesus paid the ransom for us. We're able to remove his children from a Muslim stronghold and place them in another island in one of our action shelters. And now JT's daughter is finishing school. She loves the Lord and was recently a leader on a Filipino youth mission team to reach remote and unreached areas of the Philippines to evangelize. Thus, multiplication. We also shared the gospel through humanitarian relief and community development after the record-breaking typhoon in 2013 in the central islands of the Philippines. Joni and I went into Hulog, a refugee community, and built houses, stabilized wells, fixed schools, fed breakfast to the school kids, and just listen to the survivors' stories. We prayed for, and God provided a young missionary to live incarnationally in Hulog and to bring the light of Christ through being with one with them and demonstrating Jesus by her lifestyle, teaching, caring, and telling them about Jesus. The key to the authentic gospel in Hulog was living there incarnationally and learning the language of the people. Philippians 2 tells us about how Jesus came to earth as a man and lived among us. Such is the same with missionaries, to live among the people and become one with them.
For all you YWAMers, this is what happens when you get older. You have to use papers and glasses, and you can't find what you're doing. But you know what? You still serve with gladness, no matter what age you are. You never retire from sharing the Christ with people and living out your faith. So never give up, even when you become 35 years old. Right? Look at all these people around you, you know? In January 2017, God told us our work was done in the Philippines, and we turned over our ministries on the islands to those we had trained and mentored for the last 20 years. And he called us to Panama. Yay. We immediately began packing and brought three huge boxes of our life from Manila, and we came to Boquete. We were introduced to Bob and Elvie Miller. Elvie is a Filipina. And we immediately became friends, and they took care of our three boxes for many months until we were able to officially move here in November 2017. After many years of personal hardship and trials, God is using all our experiences, both positive and negative. Will and I have become the first member care people stationed overseas. We counsel, encourage, and strengthen Christian workers all over the world. We are the first action missionaries here in Panama, so we are pioneering this field in evangelism as well as being missionary advocates. I recently returned from Costa Rica. Thank you for your prayers. I spoke and served our Central and South American teams there, which were comprised of so many cultures from all over the world. That's what's cool about missions. Missions is not for the faint of heart. I mean, you're working with people that see things differently, that speak different languages, have different worldviews, and we need to work in unity and harmony and focus on things that unite us, not things that divide us. Amen. Thank you. After living a very stressful life and a very dangerous life in Manila, we lived on adrenaline. We were always hypervigilant. We were robbed many times, Will and I. We were threatened with kidnapping. So we think God has been merciful and kind to send us now in this season of our life to Boquete. No one has threatened to kidnap us yet. He's been so good to us. So we pray that we would love our new friends here and serve them with gladness here in Boquete. And as we finish our lives here, I'm 71, Will is 68 or something. We pray to fulfill that. But he needs stronger glasses, you know. As we finish our lives here, we pray really to fulfill the call on our lives. We didn't go to the mission field till we were in our 50s, so never too late. And our life verse is Acts 20:24. And we really want to fulfill that verse that God gave us many, many years ago. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I can run the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much, Will and Joni. We jumped from 35 to 71 real fast. That's good. David and Yvonne with Multi Ministries Panama. And let me just say briefly on these two, it's such a different ministry. And so I'm encouraged to see, because what they do is they go places and minister to people that ordinarily would be kind of looked over, or ordinarily we'd kind of say, well, I don't really think that's where we ought to go. And so those people don't get ministered to and don't get witnessed to. And so they go to some difficult places and deal with difficult people. And so we really appreciate that. David and Yvonne.
Hi, we're going to start with a presentation I put on screen because I don't like to be looked at. So if you could start that, Tammy.
We are part of Multi Ministries Panama. There are many gospel-sharing ministries here in the Chiriqui region, bringing the saving word of God to Nabes, Panamanians, and our expatriate community. They all need helping hands and supplies to carry out their ministries. And we do what we can to help. Multi-Ministries Panama started out just being David and Yvonne Oldenburg. But over the last 3 years, it has incorporated many prayer warriors, donors, advocates, advisors, and volunteers. Some ministries that we are heavily involved with now, as the Holy Spirit leads us, are Pastor Hernandez's Outreach in Christ in Saloy, which is an hour and a half to 2 hours away. Casa Florentino in Chichica, which is a house construction 3.5 hours away. Casa Hogar Trisker's Children's Home, working with teen moms and supplying needs and doing maintenance on the outskirts of Boquete. Boquete Bible Fellowship's Men's Group. And God's Eyes Cherokee, which David will be telling you a lot more about. We distribute donations we receive, such as Bibles, clothing, and food. If able, we also assist with special events that many of the ministries in Boquete Bible Fellowship have. We've been blessed with having 2 4-wheel drive vehicles to help transport teams. We facilitate mission groups that travel from other countries. We have been blessed to see hundreds of people accept Christ as their Savior. We've also participated in some of their baptisms. To find out how you can become involved with Multi-Ministries Panama, come to our table in the back room. God bless you.
Okay, since I have the mic, I'll just do my little ditty. I didn't know I was going to do it, but I know now. I'm going to talk about Casa Hogar Trisker's Teen Moms program that we're doing. Lee Gray has been doing the teaching for this, and she comes back tomorrow, and we miss her. We are thankful to Bob Wilson for the children's Bible storybooks that he supplied us with. We used that as the structure for our weekly classes, or not weekly, bi-weekly, every other week classes. And we also have Bibles for the girls. We have such a short time with these girls. They come and go. I mean, none of the girls we have now are the ones we had a year ago. So we think it's so important to put a Bible in their hands and teach them how to use them and to help them learn Scripture. We wanted to focus at first with also teaching skills so that they can learn how to work, so they can make a living for themselves and for their children. And so we're trying to get more volunteers to do that, to come during midweek to help with that and to strengthen their scripture skills. Okay, David.
As she was saying, some of these girls that have babies, are fixing to have babies, are 11 years old. When they reach 18, they're kicked out. They no longer can stay there. So they need to be taught not only how to do things, but how to take care of their children, how to work. So it's very important that these young mothers are taught how to do domestic work, how to use a microwave, how to use an oven, how to use a refrigerator. And these are some of the things that Yvonne with Vivi and Lee Gray are teaching there. As you can see, we have had many different ministries that we are involved in Panama. The following are some of the ones that I'd like to highlight. Charles Blackaby, in his book, Experiencing God, says that when you see God working in a place, you move there. You move towards that point. Well, let me tell you, God's eyes and the ministry that do is where God is working. We have seen many, many people come to Christ. We just had a clinic in Puerto Almorales, right over there where the earthquake happened. We got shook out of our bed over there, by the way. Thought a tsunami was coming. But anyway, it didn't happen. We saw 220 people there over 2 days. All were given eye exams. All were given glasses of one, either farsightedness or nearsightedness. But more important, all were prayed with. Many received Jesus Christ as their Savior. It was to represent like 12 churches. So these people will be mentored as time goes on, which is very, very important. We also were able to distribute 150 Bibles in Spanish. Many of you that were in here right now were part of that group. Thank you very much. We also were very involved in Pastor Hernandez's work in Saloy. As Yvonne just said, we are there every week on Tuesday. Many of you have come with us to help minister to the people there. James and Cynthia, raise your hand. Cynthia, they go with us every week on Tuesday. It's an hour and a half drive to 2 hours, depending on the road condition. Pastor Hernandez needs help. On Thursday, they also have a service, and the people that were helping on Thursday, because of health reasons, are no longer able to go. We would like to see volunteers to go on Thursday to help out with that ministry. Before you volunteer, count the cost, though. Count the cost. Lee Wisdom, well, we talked about Hogarth Triska and the things there. And thank you, Lee, for introducing us to Hogarth Triska and helping there. And then we have Casa Florentino. Yvonne talked just a second about it. It's a house that we've been building for the last 2 years. You say, wow. We first started looking at this, Multi-Ministries Panama, partnered with the Liberty Group, which is Jim Sims. Many of you know Jim. Now we have most of the material on site. It's a different way of construction than most houses here in Panama are built. We need a few volunteers to help build up there. It's a long journey. We normally stay at least one day, sometimes two. We do have places to stay at a nominal cost. We need to finish the project. This project has been, the old devil don't want us to be there, believe me. As Charlie can say, busted water hose on his car, going in and out of the project with rain, almost getting stuck with my friend here, Gary, busting a turbo hose, bringing material up, and yes, cut fingers. The rain, if we go, we cannot get in, we cannot get out. So we have to be very careful when we can go. Even though we cannot speak the language, we want to show them, everyone that we come in contact, God's love. And through the Holy Spirit, they will come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. You say, David, what is your vision? My vision for the future is to see Christian Nobe and Panamanians, men and women, preaching and teaching throughout Central America, aiding the Holy Spirit to bring people to Christ.
Thank you, too. These guys are involved in just about everything, and almost every one of you missionaries and ministry leaders here this morning can testify to how they've served you and partnered with you and come alongside you, and they've been such a blessing, not only to you guys, but to me personally, and so we just commend you and thank you for what you're doing. The next one that we have is going to be a quick video from Brent Miller. Now, Ricky, will you? You're not there anymore. Maybe he went to the bathroom. Anyway, Brent Miller is my brother-in-law. So that's Rachel. Rachel's in the back. That's Rachel's brother. And he lived here. Most of you know him. He lived here for a few years, and he went through training at the YWAM base here, and we'll get to hear more about that from Rich in just a moment. And then he went to Mexico to pioneer a base there. And so this is just a quick update on what's been going on with Brent.
Hi, BBF family. My name is Brent Miller, and currently I am on staff as a missionary with Youth with a Mission in Querétaro, Mexico. IWAM is a global movement of Christians from many different cultures of varying age groups and many different Christian traditions, dedicated to serving Jesus Christ throughout the world as we unite to know Him and to make Him known. YWAM Querétaro has been in operation for about a year and 7 months, and we are still in the pioneering stages for many different schools and ministries. For me, my current focus is pioneering our Discipleship Bible School, or DBS, which will start on September 16th and end on December 12th. DBS is a three-month adventure with God, where the students read and study through the entire Bible while learning God's redemptive plan for man from Genesis to Revelation. In this school, the students will learn how to study through the Bible using the inductive method, who wrote each book and why it was written, and how they can apply each book to their lives today. We will also be having a DBS evening edition, one night a week, for the people who live in the community and work during the day. I wanted to talk to you about some of the ministry opportunities that the Lord has given me here in my own backyard, so to speak. Here in Mexico, there is a popular religion where people worship La Señora de la Santa Muerte, or the Holy Death for short. The Holy Death is generally portrayed as a skeletal female figure in a long robe, holding a scythe in one hand and a globe in the other. She is the personification of death and is associated with healing, protection, and safe delivery to the afterlife by her devotees. Why am I telling you about this? Near our YWAM base is a sanctuary of the Holy Death, where people come and offer food offerings and flowers and pray to this female skeletal figure in order to receive help, blessings, and protection. The owner of this particular sanctuary of the Holy Death is named Lupe. Last January, the Lord laid it on my heart to start a Bible study with Lupe and some of our neighbors who do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I've been so encouraged by the thought-provoking questions they've been asking as we've been studying through the book of John. I know that the Lord is working in their hearts, and I believe that one day they will make Jesus Christ their personal Lord and Savior. Every Wednesday, we go to a men's drug and alcohol rehab facility. We recently started a Bible study through the book of John. I'm so excited to be studying God's Word with these men so that they can come to know the one who has the power to set them free from their addictions. I love being a missionary and getting to be a part of the things the Lord is doing here. But in order to continue with the things the Lord has purposed me to do here, I need your help. Every missionary with YWAM has the responsibility of raising his or her own financial support. Would you prayerfully consider partnering with me in advancing God's kingdom here in Latin America? Whether financially or prayerfully, I would be grateful for the honor and privilege to continue with the work that the Lord has allowed me to be a part of so far. If you feel led and would like to know how you can give financially, or you would like to receive my ministry updates, please email me at bwm0009@gmail.com. God bless you guys. Bye.
Brent, and he's doing a lot. If you notice there, the last picture on the screen said Break the Silence, and it looked kind of like the shirt that I'm wearing now, which also says Break the Silence. And he meant to include that and forgot it and asked me to share on it real quick, and so he provided me with some notes to read on his behalf. So let me explain this. He says, There's a section in the west central part of Mexico where less than 2% of people identify themselves as evangelical believers. It's a section composed of six different states that share a common border. This part of the country has been named the Circle of Silence because the influence of the gospel is completely missing. the gospel of Jesus Christ has not seriously or sufficiently penetrated this area of the country where many are more engulfed in Catholic tradition than in the other parts of Mexico where the gospel has made an impact. This causes more of a hardening to other religions and to outside missionary influence. Some small cities within the circle have a sufficient number of evangelical churches to reach the areas with the gospel. However, others lack churches altogether. Many congregations, therefore, are very weak and lack Bible training. They lack training in evangelism, discipleship, and also outreach. There's a tremendous amount of work that needs to be done in this region of Mexico called the Circle of Silence. And so the reason that he's sharing about this Circle of Silence is that's right where the base is located. So there's so much to be done. So the reason I'm wearing this shirt is not to make myself look more buff than normal. It is in support of that. Break the silence. It is a movement to share the gospel in this region. So Rich Tracy, if you'd come forward. Rich Tracy is a director with YWAM here and all over, in fact. And so we're going to get to hear briefly from him as well.
It's so good to be here. It's true what's been said by others that these missionary endeavors and ministries from that are represented in this church are interconnected in many ways. We've all touched and helped and served with one another throughout the past years, and that's really a blessing. I'm not going to tell you what Youth of the Mission is because Brent just told you. But I do want to clarify one thing. We're Youth of the Mission, but our founder, Lauren Cunningham, is 84 years old, and he still travels all over the world. And so Lauren says we're youth of all ages. So youth is a mentality, it's an attitude. It has nothing to do with if you have gray hair or not. So last time I spoke here, I told you guys about what God was doing amongst the Nobes. I'm going to talk about that a little bit, but I also just want to get into some things that are happening globally. So amongst the Nobes, about 10 years ago, God invited us to join what he was doing. And it truly was an invitation. We weren't going there to tell the Nobes how to do everything. God said, I'm doing a work, and he invited us, literally invited us in a time of prayer. And we began to serve. We began to train leaders. And this thing has grown beyond what we ever imagined. It's now become a church-planting movement. I am reluctant to use those words, but that's the words that's being used by people outside of Panama right now when they observe what God has done through YWAM with the Nobes. So in the last 8 years alone, our Nobe brothers and sisters, led by Rafael, he's not here because he and his team are leading a discipleship training school in the Comarca right now, so they can't be here. Okay, so they have planted 19 churches in 8 years, 19 churches spread out all over the Comarca. They keep detailed records and folders and stuff, and I was able to see, and I wanted to verify, through their records, there are over 5,000 Nobes that have given their life through Christ through our YWAM Nobe believers. Amazing, huh? And just a couple months ago, they baptized over 50 people. They're baptizing people by the 50, by the 60s, by the hundreds. So it really is a movement. And we really don't promote this or have the information out there, but it's caught on, and people have asked us now. And last month, we're still in June, right? Beginning of this month, Rafael and I were invited to an international frontier missions gathering where they asked us to share the Nobe story of what God is doing. And an interview done with him is featured in Frontiers Magazine for the month of July about what God's doing, Frontiers International Magazine. So God's been a great thing amongst the Nobes. But I do want to go a little bit more global here and talk about something. So we're going to talk about what's happened in Christianity in the last 100 years. I will do this in 4 minutes approximately. Okay, so if we can go to the next slide. So this is all based on the Global Christian Atlas and the Global Christian Database. This is the blue is where Christianity was in 1910. Now that includes everyone who calls himself a Christian. So that includes Catholics and even some of the sects. So you see the blue is North America, Europe, part of Russia because of the Russian Orthodox Church, Latin America because of the Catholic Church. But I want you to see what happens when we go to 2010. Okay, so in 2010, now you see the southern part of Africa is blue. You see places over in Asia are now blue. And the difference that doesn't show up on this map amongst South America and Latin America is by next year, it's over 31% evangelical. So think about that. The region where we live, Latin America, will be 31% evangelical by next year. Let's go to the next slide. So let's look at it this way. In 1910, 80% of the church was in Europe and North America. 80%. Okay? And so now let's go to 2010. In 2010, over two-thirds of the church now resides in Latin America, Asia, and Africa. So there's a major shift. The majority church no longer is in the North. It's now called the Global South. So the majority of church, the majority of Christians, it's not that Christianity has died in North America. We're still growing, but it's grown so fast in Asia, in Latin America, in Africa, that it's now the majority church. The problem is, with this shift, we have not changed our missiology or our theology. We still are kind of teaching a German-based missiology, German-based theology, and there needs to be a change in how we train people. Let's go to the next slide, another way of looking at that. This chart shows the growth chart since 1900 to 2100. Look at Europe. Europe's in the blue. It's a dive. You see in the green, you see Latin America went up and it went down, but it hasn't gone down in evangelicals. The Catholic Church is losing members by the thousands, but the evangelical church is still growing. Now, the gray little line, that's North America. We're kind of like, you know, we're kind of saying we're going down a little bit. And look at Asia. Asia's on the rise. In China, there's a huge movement. Look at Africa. Africa, by 2020, will have 49% of the population will be evangelical Christian. Okay? They say, according to the Global Christian Database, the projection is in the next 10 years, Africa will have more Christians than the rest of the world combined. That's amazing. God's winning, right? God is winning. Let's go to the next slide. So I want to call up some a team from Kona and my YWAM staff up here to stand behind me. Entonces, equipo de Kona y mi personal de Jukun Panamá, venir aquí y parar atrás de mí. They're not going to talk, don't worry. I just want to have a visual. You see, let's go right along behind me here. It used to be missions was from the west to the rest or from the north to the south. Today, what we're seeing with this shift is missions is from everywhere to everywhere. And so you guys know a lot about what we do with the Nobis, which is an incredible story. It's an incredible story what God is doing, really. But our primary focus, the Nobis is part of that, but our primary focus is to raise up, train Latin Americans, Central Americans, indigenous peoples to be missionaries around the world. I was really pleased to see David talk about his vision to see Panamanians and just go throughout Central America. Let me tell you, it's happening. Right here behind me, I have Yadi. She's from the Wonan tribe. I have Teo. Where'd you guys go last year?
China.
So they went on outreach for 2 months to China with me, and it's amazing how they connected. We have now seen representatives of the Kuna tribe, the Wonan tribe, the Yambara tribe, and the Bugleri tribe all go to China. And other places like the Philippines and India and places like that. So what you see behind me here, you see Asians, you see Koreans, Chinese, you see Europeans, you see Panamanians, indigenous, you see Americans. This is the shift. This is what's taking place today. And so it's missionaries from everywhere going to everywhere. So in our little center in Puerto Rios, our focus is to be we're a strategic center to train missionaries. Now, we train missionaries by doing missions. So we do missions here as well. As Christians, we do missions wherever we live, right? But it's amazing what God is doing, and God is sending people from all the world to this little town of Boquete for a purpose. I believe it's a time to come. Some mentioned that they weren't getting kidnapped here or threatened to be kidnapped, right? Okay, so it's a time to get healed, to get hope, and then to be part of this great movement of missionaries from everywhere going everywhere. Thank you.
Daryl and Denise, I think it goes without saying that that Rich and his wife Debbie as well, they have a passion for discipleship and a passion for missions, and it's not just a superficial, let me share briefly and leave, it's a let me pour into their life, let me raise them up to be missionaries to other places. I'm blown away that there's from four different tribes here. And the indigenous tribes, four different ones have had missionaries go to China and to India and a very variety of other places. That's just, praise God, he is doing so much. Amen? Daryl and Denise, another one of our new ones. This is our last one with the Bridge Panama.
Yeah, by now your stomachs are growling and your bottoms are owing. So we're going to try to make this brief. We are literally the new kids on the block. This is our first time to be presenting here during Mission Sunday. And literally in the last year is when our ministry cropped up. So we're excited about what God's doing. As most of you know, I come from a missionary background. My grandparents were missionaries, and my parents were also missionaries in Venezuela, dating way back to the turn of the 20th century. But we did not come to Panama to be missionaries. That was not the reason we came here. That was not in our plans at all. We came here. I had a thriving business, and we just came here because we love Central America. We had lived in Costa Rica before and wanted to come back and wanted to make our home here, which is what we've done. But God very quickly began to show us that he had other plans, and he began whittling away my business one client at a time. And I shared some of that story a while back when I preached here, but he basically took us down to almost nothing to where we were going, okay, now what happens? And at the same time, he began also raising up ministry opportunities like we had never experienced before. I'm bilingual. I grew up in Venezuela, and so we had so many opportunities to share Christ with others, and just began to realize during the last year, it took us 3 years, began to realize that God was doing a different work in us. And it's very exciting. So we contacted our home church back in the States and said, you know what, we're thinking about maybe the possibility of being kind of quote-unquote missionaries. What do you think? And they wrote back and said, we just had a board meeting. We are fully on board. You are now our official Panama missionaries, and began supporting us. And so God is done a work. We have we are kind of what we call the Paul style of missionary, where we're a combined. We do some of traditional work. So I'm a translator and a media producer, and I do some of that. We also have a greenhouse up at our finca, where we get some income. But we also receive income from donors and supporters. And so, you know, that's kind of what Paul did. He set up shop occasionally and made tents in order to bring in some extra income, but he also received support from the churches that he ministered to. So we see it as a very biblical model. God is doing a great work. So what we feel called to do specifically is discipleship. Our mission is to bridge the gap between converts and disciples. And wouldn't you agree that there's often a huge gap between those two? So many times we see the Great Commission as go into all the world and make converts. Is that what it says? That's not what it says. It says go into all the world and make disciples. Make disciples. And it's so much deeper than simply a belief. And so that's what we've been called to do. We believe that the inspired Word of God, the indwelling Holy Spirit, and the intimate fellowship of believers are critical to developing a disciple. And so what we do is we teach, where am I? We teach others to study the Scriptures, to submit to the Spirit, and to seek out a small group. And so Denise is going to share a little bit about some of the small group opportunities that we have going on.
So the way that vision of discipleship fleshes out, we have several meetings each week. Sunday morning after church service, when everybody's going off to lunch, we get to hang out with the Latinos that come to BBF. And we have a great time unpacking the sermon and taking it deeper and just getting into the Word a little bit more. And then on Wednesday afternoons, we have I have a Bible study with other women at the Garden. And we just delve into whatever study we're doing. We are just wrapping up Ephesians now, and we're going to be starting up Romans here real quick. And then Saturday morning, Daryl does a mentoring time with one of the young men here in the church. And then Saturday night, the night was chosen by our neighbors, not us. And I'm excited that they want to spend their Saturday nights in Bible study and with their other neighbors. And we jump into some studies, and it's been really, really exciting to see them hungry for God's word and spending time. They have to do their studies during the week. When we come together, we discuss it, what they learned. It's really exciting. And
yeah, we also really felt called of God to the area where we're living, which is the Palmira Arriba area. And we felt God wanted us to establish our roots there. So we bought a property and built a home. A bit scary proposition. But what that sometimes does is it allows your neighbors to see you're here for the long term. And that's, we've really become a part of that neighborhood. And so we've also connected with the churches that are already doing ministry there in the area. There's one right across the street from us, Iglesia de Dios, Amor Divino. And we help them and support what they're doing, as well as a church in Palmira Centro and another one in Palmira Abajo that's led by a Nobe believer. And so we are well connected with these three pastors and these three other churches. And in essence, we are helping them to see the importance of unity in the body of Christ so that they also work with each other so that the entire Palmira area comes to know Jesus. That is what we're looking forward to. We also, as many others have mentioned, support other ministries here in this church. These ministries that you've heard from today, we are not competing, we're cooperating ministries. And you've seen that almost every one of us has mentioned that. And we've all participated in each other's ministries. And the other thing that we do, we coordinate missions teams that come down. Some of you may know Scott and Vicky Heiser in Potre Rios, and we've done a couple of mission teams so far, and hoping that others also will come down. And I help coordinate those and ride along to all the different places that we go and set up the itinerary and help translate and open doors and so forth. And so that's another thing that we are doing and excited about. I just wanted to share what one of our neighbors said to us recently at one of our home Bible studies. She said, I know at the very beginning you told us that you are not a church, you're not establishing a church, you guys aren't ordained pastors, you know, you don't want to be seen like that, but I just want you to know that our family and others on this street think of this as our church and you as our pastors. And that was like, I mean, talk about hitting to our heart. And so, in essence, yes, that's what we're doing, because the word pastor, in Spanish, it's pastor, and pastor is the exact same word as a shepherd. And that, you know, that's not a by chance that happened, because that's what pastors do, they shepherd. And so all of us in one way are pastoring those that we touch and impact. And so that's what we feel privileged to do in the Palmira area. A couple of things that are on the horizon that you might be praying about. I have been involved with a group, and we're going to move forward quickly in this. Chuck Swindoll was my pastor back in California years ago, and he is getting to the end of his ministry, and he felt like the last thing he wanted to leave before the Lord takes him home is a training for pastors and leaders on how to do hermeneutics. Some of you know what hermeneutics is. It's just basically how to study God's word, how to dig in and really find out what God is speaking through his word. And so he's developed this curriculum that is also now in Spanish. Carlos Sasueta is the pastor that helps lead that in the Spanish area throughout Latin America, and a good friend of mine, which is exciting because I was pastored under Chuck, and I also know Carlos, and I'm able to be involved in this. So we are bringing that here to Boquete and to Chiriquí and eventually to all of Panama, a training in how to study the Bible, which is so critical and so much in line with what God's called us to do. So we're excited about that. And one other thing is we have had a couple of invitations to go overseas, and one from Peru and one from Cuba, to speak on marriage and parenting topics, which is part of what I did. I spent 24 years with Focus on the Family, and that's a core of who I am, and we would love to accept those invitations. We don't have the resources to do that, but what we believe that whatever God wants us to do, he brings those funds. And so if he doesn't bring the funding in, we trust that that's a closed door. And so we're just praying that he will show us very clearly whether we can make those trips or not. So I think that's all for me.
And the final thing I want to bring up that God's doing, he's led me, I feel like he's led me to do an internet-based study. So I'm calling it my Zoom Bible study. I am not a techie person, but I want to use whatever technology I can to share the gospel and disciple. So that's something I really need your prayers on, and that brings up our final point is prayer. We really need your prayers. Without that, we're just wasting our time. So I want to encourage you, when you see any announcements for any of these ministries, that you pray for us. Pray that we would be discerning and listening, first of all, and secondly, that we would follow through and obey whatever God's calling us to do. So it's so important that we hear from him and what the Holy Spirit's doing. Without him, our work and our time is just meaningless. So at our table, we have a sign-up sheet. If you're interested in signing up for a newsletter, you can find out what we're up to. And also, if you want to donate, there's information there as well. And I just want to put another plug in. Romans Bible study starts July 10th, 2 to 4 at the Garden. And I'd love for any women that are interested in delving into God's Word and learning more about God and how he impacts our life, it'd be great if you'd join us. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, you two. They have such a heart and a passion and a deep desire for discipleship and really pouring into individuals. And I love the contrast between converts and discipleship. That's something we've talked quite at length about here, and it's something I'm passionate about as well. Daryl, we share the same passion there, so I'm excited. Tammy, if you would bring the worship team forward and close us in a worship song, and let me pray for us real quick before we do that. Heavenly Father, we are blown away by what you're doing here in Cherokee, and it's more than just here in Cherokee. It's internationally. It's beyond. We get to see what YWAM's doing and what Brent's doing in Mexico, and we get to see the training of a variety of ministries here in discipling, and how those people who are being discipled are taking the word, they're taking the gospel, the good news, they're carrying out the Great Commission elsewhere throughout the nations. And Father, everything that's going on here this morning, all the different ministries and the things that you're doing, it's so far beyond us. It's not because any person or any group of people are so awesome and so gifted and really good at doing this kind of stuff. It's just because of you. Mm-hmm. It's because of you. Your Holy Spirit is so active and so present, and it is just an honor, and it's humbling to have the opportunity to be able to participate and to partner with you in such a fashion like this. So, Father, we are just excited with what you're doing, and we look forward to seeing what you're going to keep doing. Father, we commit everything, all of our ministries to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.